Another challenger has come for the Silver Crystal. Preparing for battle, the teenage superhero Sailor Moon ponders whether she will have the strength to protect the world once again. As she starts down the path of a lengthy montage of starlight, takeout food, and boys, the front door of the palace is torn off and thrown into the front room. Making his entrance is the anger-fueled Green Terror, the Incredible Hulk, bellowing with rage. Sailor Moon pauses one final time and says, "In the name of the moon, I'll punish you. I am the pretty guardian who fights for love and justice. I am Sailor Moon." Hulk responds by tearing out a chunk of floor and heaving it at her head, and this battle is underway. It's Bruce versus Usagi. It's Worldbreaker versus Princess Serenity. It's the Incredible Hulk versus Sailor Moon, live today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comic, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gazzi, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stecanus. Ray, you know, I've got to ask, how did we come up with today's matchup?
We came up with today's matchup. This was actually very, very difficult. Now, we've talked many, many times before about how ridiculous length of times we take to figure out what we're going to do. And in fact, in this particular battle, we had a completely different matchup in mind. Don't want to spoil what that was, but it was going to be the Hulk versus a different character. Okay, great. And then when the audience suggestions started coming in, we kind of got the Sailor Moon suggestion from a couple of different people. And sure enough, it was too good to pass up. We had to make it happen.
You know, Ray, I got to be honest, I'm not that familiar or wasn't that familiar with Sailor Moon, but for the many that are, they seem to think she has a real shot at beating the Hulk. So, Ray, just to be clear, first of all, how popular is Sailor Moon?
Oh, Sailor Moon's huge. She was one of the huge anime creations of the 1990s that really started the invasion of America, if you will, of that particular culture. You know, you had the movie Akira, which we've done on the show. We've got Sailor Moon, you've got Robotech, and then eventually Dragon Ball Z, and then the thing just exploded.
Okay, so that cements her popularity. I'm getting the impression that she's much more powerful than people realize, but I'm sure you're going to let me know about that all throughout the show. I got to tell you, too, when we were talking about the Sailor Moon possibility of having her on the show, of course, because I wasn't familiar with Sailor Moon, I said, all right, I'm going to, we ran it by the Who Would Win team. We thought that, you know, let's see what's going to happen. The Who Would Win team said, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm like, okay, cool. And then, you know, it's a Zoom call. I look over at Ray, and Ray, you had this weird smirk on your face. You knew something that I didn't. Should I be worried about this matchup?
Well, James, you're the one who's tried to talk me out of Sailor Moon at least twice up to this point because you know how powerful Sailor Moon can be, and you are terrified of this battle. Just admit it for the people at home.
Ray, I'm terrified of many things. Not really. I'm more intrigued by this battle. I'm not 100% sure what you're going to be bringing to the table with Sailor Moon, but I got to tell you, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I also feel a huge responsibility because, look, there are certain iconic characters that when you have to represent them in a Who Would Win matchup, you got to bring your A game. And Ray, I hope you're ready. I brought my A game for today's episode.
I only brought my C game today, but I feel like that's going to be plenty enough to defeat you and the Incredible Hulk today.
Do you know letters past C?
I do not.
Got it. Okay. Your C game actually is actually really good.
I know.
So let's just check this out. Let's just talk about our judge. We're bringing back a judge. One of my favorites, by the way. We had him on not too long ago. Didn't like his decision, but the two previous decisions were fantastic. He brings a great flair. He brings a masterful touch to Who Would Win. And the fans love him. So, you know, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's writer, actor, producer, and now official podcaster. It's the one and only Marshall Givens. Marshall, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. What's up, guys?
Marshall, okay, so you're a man of many talents, right?
Okay. I think so.
Writer, we know so. But now you're an official podcaster.
Uh-huh.
Please explain.
Yeah, so started a new production company with some friends of mine from Chicago, HP 53 Productions. We're out there now. When we launched some podcasts under our brand. The first podcast is called The Super Duper Show, hosted by Rob Griggs. And then I am now, me and a friend of mine, his name is Kenny Stevenson. You may have heard of him. He's a comedian. He's a good guy. Funny dude. We're doing a podcast about being dads called Father Good. So check out at Father Good Pod. That's what we're doing. It's called the Father Good Podcast. Just some comedians talking about being good dads. We're going to talk to some other comedians who are dads. We're going to talk to some experts. We're going to get some people in there, some professionals, maybe, you know, help us out. We'll give some advice. You don't have to take it. It's fine. But, you know.
Well, you know, you're one of the smartest people I know. So I'm all ears when it comes to taking great advice. You know, raise a dad. I'm a dad. What advice would you give us to be better dads? I'm going to put you on the spot, by the way.
Just pay attention. Like, just pay attention.
I'm out. That's
what? What? You can't do that? What? Oh, come
on. I'm physically incapable of paying attention. In fact, I blanked out halfway through you telling me I needed to pay attention.
What'd you say?
Huh?
You weren't. I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening.
Okay, gotcha. Well, this bodes well for your podcast. Okay. And where can people check out these podcasts, by the way?
Oh, we're on all your podcasts, you know, where you get them. We haven't launched our first one yet. We just recorded it the other day. And so we, you know, cleaning it up and going to get it out to you. But just check out, follow at Father Good Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or follow at HP 53 Productions to get the latest podcast. We got a bunch coming.
That sounds really official, by the way. Whenever you have the word productions at the
end. Oh, yeah, you got to. Yeah, you got to, like, in this day and age. Like, that's how you get the, like, corporate money, is you put productions in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so now you're judging a really titanic battle. I got to ask, I have a funny feeling you're super familiar with the Hulk. Are you also really familiar with Sailor Moon?
You know, there was a brief...
Is that a weird question to ask, by the way?
No. You know what's funny? There was a brief period in my time... in my life when I was a kid, where I remember being really intrigued by Sailor Moon. I didn't understand what was happening. What's going on? Cause like, I didn't grow up with anime. Like, that wasn't my thing. So this, I was just like, what is this? So there, I think it came on, maybe like one stretch of time where it came on early in the mornings. So I was like, all right, well, this is on, what is this? All right, I'm watching. All right. Well, you know, it's fights, so it's all good. Like,
well, you know, I remember I had just moved to the United States. I was living in Atlanta at the time. Turned on the TV. It was like a Sunday morning, and it was Sailor Moon. I watched it a little bit, but I didn't understand what was happening either. And then that's of the same generation as, if I'm not mistaken, Samurai Pizza Cats.
What was that? Remember that? That I don't know.
Okay,
absolutely,
gotcha.
Samurai Pizza Cats. Now, that is something we actually, and Sailor Moon, we've done for Knowing Is Half the Podcast, another cartoon-based podcast people might be interested in.
I've heard of that show. I like most of the people on that show, actually. They're
two
great.
Out of three of those people are fantastic.
They are good people. I've heard of that show. That show is like out in the streets. It's good. I heard it's a good time.
Okay, great. And then are you a big fan of The Incredible Hulk, or just kind of a passing knowledge?
Yeah, no, I do. I like Bill Bixby. Do. Like that was my jam when I was a kid. Like, I was watching all of those. Anytime the Thor movie one, like, that was like the best, man. Like, nothing is as good as that Thor. That dude was the best Thor.
can you sing that theme song again?
It's great.
I'm almost about to start crying. You know, as Bill Bixby's walking away in the. You bring out the emotion to me, Marshall, is what you do.
Like, what's great about that, too, is, like, knowing in hindsight that that Lou Ferrigno wasn't actually that huge, like, that tall. So, like, the camera tricks that they had to use to make him look like a Hulk. I think that's funny.
Yeah, I think he was 5'9".
Is that how I don't know exactly.
No, he was 6'5". He was actually fairly – he was a big guy.
He was 6'5"?
Yeah.
See, they made it look like he was like 7.
Sure. When you're 6'5", and then you have people who are like 6'2" and 6'3" that you're supposed to be towering over. Yeah. You know,
I just remember thinking like, oh man, they make him look so huge.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. This bodes well. Ray, are you ready for today's matchup?
No. Give me 5 seconds to really meditate, think about what I'm doing, and make it happen.
I'll give you 2. So with that said, it's about that time. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
representing Marvel Comics, the hero with the strongest pants in the history of mankind, the Incredible Hulk. And representing the world of anime, the hero who proves that there is no such thing as the dark side of the moon, Sailor Moon.
I got to ask a question. You know, when I researched the Hulk, I didn't get an answer for this. Why are his pants or shorts seemingly indestructible? Like everything, his shirt gets torn to shreds, no shoes, but his shorts are somehow fine. What's the deal, Race to Canis?
They're the strongest shorts in the history of mankind. I believe I just said that out loud.
Marshall, what's the deal with the shorts here? I need to ask, you know, the smart person in the room here.
Well, my only theory is that some of his super, like, bulletproofness, his indestructibility is rubbing off on just his pants. I'm not sure how. Don't ask, like, what's going on with that. That's my only theory. That's all I got. Either that or he got some super stretchy stuff from Reed Richards and, you know, just didn't tell anybody.
That actually sounds really like a plausible idea. That last one. That actually sounds good. Okay. Not that your first idea wasn't fantastic, by the way. Right. So, Ray, well done as always. Now, before we go any further.
I know.
Okay, great. Let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Now, rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match, and I got to really emphasize this, is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. Ray, what version of Sailor Moon are you going with?
You know, there were some people trying to push me into doing the manga version of Sailor Moon, and quite frankly, I don't want to read that much to do my research. So I will not be bullied by the people. I bully the people. The people do not bully me. So I'm going to be doing the anime version of Sailor Moon because I have watched it for knowing it's half the podcast. I have seen a lot of it. I'm ready to go.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because my research was all about the anime version. Look, there's a ton of different versions of the Hulk I could use. There's Hulk from the MCU films. There's the Lou Ferrigno Hulk, which I did kind of consider using for half a second until I researched Sailor Moon, of course. There's the animated version of the Hulk. So, Ray, I'm going to do something kind of different. I'm going to go with the Marvel 616, the current version of the Hulk.
What?
You okay?
I heard he's pretty strong.
Yeah, I know. Ray, do you need
a hug? I'm in shock right now.
Okay.
This is the face of shock.
It's the face of something. Rule number four, the winner of the Who Would Win debate is whomever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. Rule number five, the judge, that's you, Marshall, can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. And finally, rule number six, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape of both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by the official Who Would Win store. Get your official Who Would Win t-shirts, mugs, merchandise by going to whowouldwinshow.com and clicking on the merch section. By the way, please send us a pic of your official Who Would Win shirts or merchandise so that we can post it all over our social media accounts.
And I have more I want to add to that, James, because we actually have a brand new t-shirt. Two things I want to mention. One, we have a brand new t-shirt design in the store right now. And I'm going to go ahead and put it up on screen. There we go. So I'm going to take myself away and show you guys this. This is the brand new Who Would Win t-shirt that is currently, and it's on sale in the store right now. So it's the only shirt that's on sale in our store. It's brand new. As of about a day ago, we got it approved and put up. And so if anybody is digging the design or they would like to get it, today is a wonderful day to get it.
Belated because,
like
Father's
I said
Day
before,
gift.
It's on. Yeah, it's a great late Father's Day gift, pre-4th of July gift. You could wear this to all of your barbecues if you get it in time. Sure, why not? But this is the new design. I'm a big fan. I look real beefy in it, and that's probably why I like it so much. James, not quite so much. I'll be honest, this is more realistic to our true life beings.
What are you talking
than
about?
Really
look
anything
those guns
we'd ever
James
seen.
Has on that picture there. What are you talking about?
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
Go ahead. Sorry, Ray. Go keep going.
So we also have some curated designs. We've got 3 Incredible Hulk and 3 Sailor Moon shirts, personally curated by me because I thought they were all pretty good and cool. So if you're interested and you like both of these characters, why not help out an artist and purchase the shirt as well? We have it curated through our store right now. The second thing that I want to talk about, and this is the big deal, and James, you can back me up here. We're doing a contest, and it's a contest related to t-shirts. We know that a lot of you guys are artists. We know a lot of you guys are designers. We know a lot of you guys, in theory, have talent. What I will say to that is we are going to be taking entries, for lack of a better term, of who would win designed t-shirts by you, the people. Now, all of the, and it's not maybe just one, maybe one winner, maybe multiple winners, maybe some of you have talent, maybe one of you does, maybe nobody does, I don't know anymore. What I'll say is, our goal here is to take the best designs that we are given, and we will make them into real t-shirts on the Who Would Win store that will be available for all of mankind to enjoy. So if that's the kind of thing you would like to get into, we're going to be setting that up. We'll have a contest entry, blah, 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 blah. We'll have that all on the website later, but I just wanted to put it out there right now. That is a thing we were doing. That is a thing we are doing. That is a thing you might want to be a part of.
Listen, I don't always agree with Ray, and I'm going to emphasize always not agree. But in this case, I agree 100%. Our fan base is fantastic, growing every day. And we've seen some great artwork coming from several of you. We want to see more. By the way, even if we don't use it for a t-shirt, we're going to blast it all over our social media channels because we really do love our fans. You guys are fantastic, and at least I can't say thank you enough. By the way, we have another sponsor. You've heard me mention it before. It's the Digital Sky Podcast. I'm lucky enough to be a producer of some of the episodes, but they decided to do something great, sponsor this episode of Who Would Win. And there's actually a really cool announcement for Digital Sky. They have been doing these amazing anthology series podcasts, Hollywood production, writers galore, great director Scott Zakrin. And we're actually doing something really cool for our episode called Super App, starring Zeno Robinson, a friend of the show. He was Hawks on the My Hero Academia latest movie. And we're actually turning that episode into a motion comic. We've got this amazing artist coming through with some great comic book art. And we're going to actually match our crazy Super App episode podcast to the artwork. And that's going to be available on YouTube in July. So stay tuned. Check out the Digital Sky channel on YouTube. You can check out all their episodes and visual stuff. Plus, feel free to go to Apple Podcast and subscribe to Digital Sky there. You can also subscribe, I've heard, to another great podcast on Apple Podcasts called Who Would Win. So feel free to, subscribe to that as well. Ray, with all that said, please give us the details on Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon is an anime superhero who first appeared in Chapter 1 Usagi Sailor Moon, originally published in Japan's Nakayoshi magazine back in 1991. She was created by Naoko Takeuchi. If I got that right, maybe I did. Usagi, or Serena as she is known in the USA, was just your average 14-year-old high school girl going about her life when she was met by Luna, a magical talking cat, who tells her that she is destined to save the Earth from evil and gives her a magic brooch that will transform her into the mighty Sailor Moon. Now, as Sailor Moon, she is armed with the Silver Crystal, which is a near limitless power that can reform an entire world from ruin, but it does so at the user's life. Fun fact, Sailor Moon is known for its elaborate transformation scenes, where a character performs a series of elaborate gestures while becoming their superpowered alter egos. The one thing that is very cool, though, is that when Sailor Moon says the words "in the name of the moon" as part of her routine, she is performing American Sign Language to speak the words "I love you." See, because Moon does not wish harm on her enemies, but understands that they must be defeated, much like the Incredible Hulk today. And that, my friends, is the one they call Sailor Moon.
There's just something really touching about you talking about Sailor Moon, Ray. It works. Yeah, it works really well. Okay, here are the details for the Hulk. Now, the Hulk, a.k.a. Bruce Banner, was created by the iconic duo of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and first appeared in Marvel's Incredible Hulk number 1, published in May 1962. Now, following his accidental exposure to gamma rays, saving the life of Rick Jones, his good friend, during the detonation of an experimental gamma bomb, Bruce Banner is physically transformed into the Hulk when subjected to emotional stress or at against his will, often leading to destructive rampages and conflicts that complicate Banner's civilian life. The Hulk's level of strength is normally conveyed as proportionate to his level of anger. Commonly portrayed as a raging savage, the Hulk has been represented with other personalities based on Banner's fractured psyche, from a mindless destructive force to a brilliant warrior or genius scientist in his own right, when Banner's mind actually inhabits the Hulk's body. The Hulk is both the well-known green-skinned, hulking, muscular, human-looking dude possessing insane super strength and power, as well as his alter ego, as I mentioned before, Dr. Robert Bruce Banner, a physically weak, socially withdrawn, and emotionally reserved physicist with with the two existing as independent personalities that often resent each other, and while the other times working together, and even other times merging into different versions of the Hulk itself. And here's an interesting fact about the Hulk. Did you know that the Hulk, one of the most popular and widely known characters around the world, actually was not a popular comic book when it first came out in the 60s? It's true. Turns out the Incredible Hulk sold so poorly that it had only about 6 issues in its original run. It wasn't until the Hulk joined the Avengers years later that he had a resurgence in popularity, got his own series once more, and became a mainstay within the Marvel Universe. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Marshall, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I'm excited to get into this. You know, I like the Hulk. I know the Hulk. Don't know a lot about Sailor Moon. I'm ready to hear how this little girl is going to beat Hulk. That's really what I want to know.
Me too. All right, Ray, please proceed with your first point.
Point number one, let's talk a little bit about the basic powers of Sailor Moon, as well as sort of what her deal is, because she is an average 14-year-old girl who is, again, given this, what is it, a brooch, a bracelet, and she is able to transform herself into Sailor Moon. This is sort of a Hannah Montana kind of a situation here. There, you know, there's a reason you never see Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana in the same room together, and it's because they're actually, and this is going to be a big spoiler for you guys at home, they're the same person. I know. I'll keep going anyway, despite the fact I've just ruined all of your lives. Now, she has something called the Silver Crystal, and that's what really gives her her power. So some of the things that you might notice right away about Sailor Moon is, one, that she has the ability to fly. You know, she's able to kind of fly around. The Hulk does not have flight. So already we're going to start with a flying character because we've just seen her moving around in that way. Even minimally in her transformation scenes, she tends to jump up in the air, hang in the air for an extended period of time before coming back down again, which implies a heck of a lot of flight. Additionally, the speed. And this is somewhere I think she's got a real big ups on the Hulk. She's a very fast character. Again, when she does her combat maneuvers, they tend to be a huge production, a huge flourish around them. Whether they be the Moon Twilight Flash or the Moon Princess Halation. These are some of the great names. I got a whole list of them here, and they're tripping me up, I'm not going to lie. So she's got a whole list of these special powers and abilities that she does. So what she does is she'll basically stand in one place while she's, you know, the enemy's in front of her, and she will start moving and twirling, and then, like, feathers will start appearing, and a rainbow will appear over her head, like some sort of Final Fantasy attack. And it's delightful. But this just shows that with all this power and windup, the enemy isn't punching her. The enemy isn't striking her. The enemy really isn't doing anything but standing there while she goes through this elaborate routine to do the attack. What does that mean? It means she's moving ridiculously fast. That it is to our perception that we can see all these movements because the fine editors of the show have slowed it down so our poor, sad human brains can understand it. But the person she's fighting cannot. So when she rips out with one of these attacks, it's coming from a place of ultimate speed. Additionally, she's been shown to have lots of endurance. And there's an example here where she gets a black flower thrown at her. But it's a magic flower that binds her with these kind of vine-looking things and then electrocute her and then zap her for all of her powers. And she takes it. And she just gets knocked right down. And then she's able to get out of it and then keep on fighting afterwards. Additionally, there's lots of times that she's been rocked. And rocked in the way that the Hulk is going to rock. Look, let's face it. The Hulk is a very one-dimensional fighter. He is not somebody who's about to pick up, a submachine gun and wail. No, he's coming forward. He's going to jump real high. He's going to crash, and he's going to throw, and he's going to punch, and he's going to kick, and I don't know, headbutt. That's fine. That's all stuff that Sailor Moon has dealt with before, and she will get knocked around a little bit, and it does stink for her, but she's able to get up and keep fighting every time because she's got that Sailor Moon heart. She's got the will to keep going because she takes it all upon herself. That's all I want to start off with right now. And that's my point number one.
Okay, so when you say she's got speed, because I agree, she's got super speed. Can you put that into context? Is she Flash fast? Is she Quicksilver fast? Like, what level of super speed do you think she has?
It's real hard to say because a lot of the time with Sailor Moon, she forgets that she has powers. And she'll just kind of just hang out and then get, unfortunately, like punched a bunch of times before she's like, oh yeah, I'm ridiculously powerful and I can just one-shot this person. And that's oftentimes how those battles go. So I would say every day walking around, she doesn't display huge amounts of speed. But when she decides to do one of these devastating attacks, it's with a speed that is just unbelievable to the eyes.
Okay, I'm looking at the chat right now, and some interesting questions are coming up for you, Ray. Ryan Campbell just had a great point. He said, just ask Frieza from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super to explain something about himself, and you can take the three episodes to build a soul bomb. Is this something that happens in Sailor Moon, where she does the Dragon Ball Z, you know, explaining too much about something, and it takes forever, or is she a bit quicker than that?
I would say it's a bit quicker than that. I mean, usually all the exposition happens before the fight. And then as the shots go back and forth, because Sailor Moon has a lot of really cool things that happen, but I wouldn't call it action-packed. It's more of, you know, there's she gets hit by the thing, by the energy blast, she hits the ground, and she starts getting very upset. And then the person that she's fighting starts, like, yelling at her or something. And then she, like, has a flashback memory. And then she'll stand up, and then she'll, like, do her one attack, and then the battle's over. That's Sailor Moon.
Got it. Okay. Another person from the chat who you've never heard of before, Ray, someone by the name of Stefan Thomas, CEO of the Creative Extreme.
Oh, that is garlic to my Dracula.
He just said, did Ray just say that the show's editors contribute as part of Sailor Moon's power set?
Is it part of her power set? No. Does it help us see what she's doing? Because if they showed Sailor Moon at real speed, it would be, and then the fight would be over and we wouldn't have actually enjoyed anything. So the editors are doing their part to make sure that the show is viewable for we, the people.
Feels okay. Very, feels very Deadpool-y.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So I'm going to say the editors do help with their power set then. It's a yes is what you're saying. Okay. Ray, again, Sailor Moon is amazing. She's awesome. Way more powerful than I thought she was because I didn't know that much about her. And then when I started doing my what I call in-depth research, which is watching maybe a few too many YouTube videos and clips of Sailor Moon, I got a little worried. And I had to change my game plan completely for my point number one. Look, this is where everyone knows. This is where point number one, I start to talk about a character's powers and their base abilities and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, with someone like Sailor Moon, who's way more powerful than you realize, I'm changing it completely. So let me just kind of go with it. Look, again, Hulk, everyone knows he's got superhuman level, like Superman level human strength. He's got incredible durability. He's got a super fast healing factor that actually may be even better than Wolverine's. He's got super endurance, can fight for days, weeks, years on end. However, when you look at the Hulk and the way the character has been written and what he's done, you don't get a good appreciation of just how powerful he is until you see some of the mind-blowing things he's actually done. Some of these are incredible. Some of these range on the you know, precipice of ridiculous, like crazy, but I'm going to use them anyway. So, for example, when looking after a group of superpowered children called the Power Pack, the Hulk is blindsided, just attacked from out of nowhere by a group of superheroes consisting of Colossus, The Thing, Hercules, Wonder Man, and Giant Man, who all punch him in the head as hard as they can at the same time. At the same time, Ray Stakanis. All these people are class 100, which means top tier super strength, except for maybe Giant Man, who's very close. And this is a group, again, some of the most physically dominant characters within the Marvel Universe. And what happens to the Hulk? Nothing. He tanks the hits all at once to his head and face, gets ticked off, and starts taking everyone out one by one. Naturally starts with Giant Man just sends him flying first, which is kind of cool. Here's another really crazy example. There's these beings called the Celestials. And these beings, to call them Godzilla size, is actually not even close to how big they are. They're actually, some of them, the size of the planet Earth. You'll remember in the Avengers, and I think Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, they actually, there's a head of a Celestial, which actually looks like the size of a moon kind of thing. So one Celestial decided to come after the Earth and destroy it. So Tony Stark says, okay, I got a plan. I'm going to make this force field that's going to surround the Earth and hopefully keep that Celestial from literally stepping on the Earth and breaking it. And he had to go to the Hulk and he said, Hulk, I need you to power up and then hold two parts of this machine in place for the force field. By the way, that's supporting the force field for the planet Earth that this huge being, also the size of planet Earth, will be stepping on. The Hulk's like, no problem. And this other character says, I think it might have been Stephen Strange or another one. Doctor Strange said, either the Hulk gives out or the machine gives out. Let's see which one does first. Of course, it was the machine that gave out first. The Hulk was fine, held up a force field of that magnitude. Another great example is when another time, this happened, I think, in the 90s, this character called Vector burns away with this energy blast 90%. I don't know how they got to 90%, not 92, whatever. He burns 90% of the Hulk's flesh away. And the Hulk says, give me a second. And within three comic book panels on the same page, which I guess is like 3 seconds, the Hulk has completely regrown everything and is absolutely back to normal and is fine. Some other really cool parts when he fights other superpowered beings, his punches are known to cause earthquakes all over the planet. And if that wasn't enough, and this may be my favorite feat of strength and power, the Hulk was able to fight his way through having all of reality thrown at him. And again, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this one. There's a super powerful character who had the power to shift, warp, and somehow weaponize all of reality. And he decides he wants to destroy the Hulk. So the Hulk gets caught in this reality blast. And what does he do? Well, he's getting pushed back. It's like he's walking through a hurricane, but he tanks it. He's tanking all of reality being thrown at him. And he starts walking towards his character. And then just when he gets to him, the character's like, how are you tanking all of reality? And the Hulk just kind of says, because I'm the Hulk, I'm the strongest one there is, nails him with one punch, KOs him, and then he's fine. I don't get how that works. It happened, though. Look, as powerful as Sailor Moon is, and I know she's very powerful, she's neither throwing reality at the Hulk, nor is she strong enough to walk through reality if it was thrown at her. That's my point number one.
Okay, there's a lot that you are saying right there, and a lot of it sounds like pure nonsense. How many times has the Hulk walked through a reality that attacks him? Is it just that one time, James? Or that is that a thing he does every Thursday?
I believe it's a Tuesday afternoon thing he does, walking through reality, and I think that happened
Pilates.
Yeah, it's after Pilates.
Like, you can pretend twice.
Like if you look at his calendar.
One time.
Yeah, if you look at his calendar, it's Pilates. It's, you know, where he wears a mask. He's socially distancing. Walk through reality being thrown at you. Yeah, and grab a latte. It's a normal Hollywood thing.
You know, a lot of the stuff you mentioned, like the whole thing about, oh, he punched a guy, so there was an earthquake in Russia. And I'm just not really buying it. To me, that's the simple case of there was an earthquake in Russia. And then somebody was like, well, did the Hulk fight a guy in Arkansas? Oh, yes. Oh, that clearly is the reason we had the earthquake. That looks like a little bit of mysticism to me. That seems very unlikely. Like some of the stuff like they attribute to Tesla, where he fired up his device. And then on the opposite side of the world, all the cornfields burst into flames. No, they didn't. Stop it. I believe that you're hyperbolizing because that's what you do, which is basically my way of saying you're lying. Thank you.
Okay, this is all happening in comics. By the way, Ray, you know, that earthquake in Mexico, you told me that you caused that by slamming your car door really hard. Are you telling me that's not what happened?
No, totally no, that didn't. Is what happened. No, I have that on the record. Yeah. My Shake Alert LA app went off.
Right.
And
right.
Then I could see the direction that it went, and it went straight south.
Got it. Okay, good. I'm glad that's how it happened. All right, Marshall.
I apologize to the people there too. Like that's my bad.
You should.
That was a minor inconvenience, right? Okay, Marshall.
Yeah.
Okay, you've heard point number one from both Ray and myself. What are your thoughts so far?
I'm wondering how powerful anybody Sailor Moon has actually gone up against versus who the Hulk and what the Hulk has gone up against. I am curious. I know what it's like when the Hulk gets damaged. Like, what exactly does that look like when Sailor Moon actually gets damaged? Like,
she falls over and then stands up and whoops the person who did it.
No bruises, no.
Sometimes blood. She's got that anime red mark on her face, and that's about
it. The anime squiggle.
Yeah. The little like tic tac toe board.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I know exactly. That's a classic technique. So she's never ever been defeated. What? Okay, so like I'm aware of she's got all the sailor girls that roll with her. That she's always like, why does she need them then?
Well, I mean, they're her best friends. Let's start there. And they're her crew. You know, there's I believe 7 of them in total. And they have to watch each other's backs because Sailor can't handle like every single threat all at the same time, all the time. Like there's henchmen. And so she's got her crew to deal with the henchmen and she goes after the big boss. I mean, it's traditional anime fare.
Got it.
Now, she has been defeated sort of before. The thing is, she can't be because she's got this silver crystal. And so the power of the silver crystal, and I'm going to get into that in a little bit in my later points. But essentially, if she is about to be defeated or something really bad's about to happen, the silver crystal will essentially reset reality and then kill her. and then bring her and all of her crew back to life again, kind of a new cycle begins. And so they start back at the beginning of their lives again.
Like, legitimately kill her, or like...
Correct. It's happened three times in the story.
Does she feel the death?
Yeah. I mean, I think she gets to go back and do it. There's a lot of weird things, and then, like, some time travel stuff starts happening. Look, it's anime. Weird things are gonna happen.
But she definitely gets killed. Okay.
She definitely gets killed, but the thing is, she's fine.
But then she's not. Is it like one of those things where, is it like instantaneous? Is like, okay, she's about to lose. I'm gonna kill you first. Instantly bring it back to reality. Reset. All
right. It's more of like right before the bad thing's about to happen, the silver crystal stops and goes, hey, I'm going to go ahead and stop you right there. I'm going to go ahead and reset the universe right now because that can't happen.
So the silver crystal is like a bouncer.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, you remember a battle you previously were in. It was the Dark Phoenix versus Kratos battle.
Oh,
one of the biggest travesties of who would win. And the way Dark Phoenix can, in theory, manipulate the entire universe, that's the power of the silver crystal, and it takes care of her.
Okay. I don't want to. All right. I'll wait. All right.
Yeah. Marshall, I think more importantly, we've come up with possibly the most iconic line ever within Who Would Win, thanks to Ray Sicanus. What Ray said, she definitely feels the death.
Yeah. I've got some. I'm that's curious. True. I was like, okay.
I mean, that's good. That's
that seems
maybe
weird.
It's not
good. That, like, okay, the solution to the problem is I'll kill you first.
But she feels it. She feels the death is what we're trying to. Okay.
I was curious.
Okay, that's good. Ray, go ahead and hit us with your point number two, please.
Point number two, let's talk about some of the equipment that Sailor Moon brings to the table. Because we're going to start off here with just something very basic and simple. It's her moon tiara that she wears on her head. Now, it has this really cool ability that she can take it off and throw it at somebody. In and of itself, maybe not that big a deal. But if it hits you, you disintegrate. You turn into dust. She has defeated many, many, many powerful adversaries with this one attack alone. So, yes, you talk about the Hulk regrowing his skin, and that's delightful. But has he recovered in a 2-minute time frame from being disintegrated to dust? I don't think that he has, and he's an awfully gosh darn big target, isn't he? Especially the madder he gets, the bigger he gets, the easier he's hit with a disintegrator tiara. So this is an attack that right away can absolutely defeat him. I'd said this before, Sailor Moon one-shots people, and it doesn't matter how powerful they are. If she gets off the right attack and is able to land it, which with her speed she often is, that person is donezo. Additionally, she carries something called the Moonstick, which allows her to set up barriers around here. So if the Hulk starts coming around her and the Hulk's about to jump in with the punches and the flailing and the kicks and the biting and the rude noises, what's going to happen is she's going to all of a sudden go into super speed. She's going to do an elaborate spinny around gesture with birds and doves that fly away and flowers, and a ribbon is going to like fly by her head. And then she's going to hold out the Moonstick. This is a pen. But she's going to hold out the Moonstick, and it's going to create a barrier around her that, bong, Hulk's going to just crash right into it, and he's going to fall over, and she's going to be able to land another shot. Additionally, she can use that Moonstick in order to heal herself. She can heal herself if she needs to. Now, you talk about the Hulk's regeneration. Sailor Moon also possesses the ability to not just heal herself, but she can heal all forms of damage. There's an example where one of her very good friends was mind-controlled, and he was taken over by another powerful being and was attacking her. She was able to cleanse and heal the mind control out of the person's body and cause it to happen. So there's very, very little that the Hulk's going to be able to do that's actually going to be able to put down Sailor Moon. Additionally, and finally, she's got something called the Princess Sword, which is able to reflect energy as well as shoot energy blasts out. You know, a lot of her attacks just take the form of a big blast of energy, like a Hadouken from Street Fighter II, or a Spirit Bomb from Dragon Ball Z, or Kamehameha, that thing.
Kamehameha.
She does that, but often from her devices, whether it be, you know, the Moonstick, the Princess Sword, what have you. So she takes these items and she one-shots people with them. I don't see how the Hulk is any more powerful than any of the crazy anime stuff that she's faced in, what is it, 5 seasons of Sailor Moon? It's a lot, plus movies and alternate. And she can deal with the Hulk. This is not an issue. She's going to disintegrate his body. And that's my point number two.
Okay, so this is worrisome because she's got some pretty incredible weapons. She knows how to use them. Quick question. Has Sailor Moon, and I'm just going to kind of go back a little, has Sailor Moon ever been afraid and run away from a fight?
Absolutely. Sailor Moon, at her core, she is a 14-year-old girl. Now, she is a very, very strong-willed 14-year-old girl, but she does doubt herself. If she was to have a weakness, it is her ability to doubt herself. Now, one of the things I see happening in this battle with the Hulk is the battle has to happen, right? And she doesn't have to think about the battle. So when the Hulk starts attacking you, you really have no choice but to defend yourself. She's not necessarily going to have time to process and think about, I don't think I want to be fighting the Hulk. He's coming strong and she has to deal with him. So I don't know that that particular weakness is going to hurt her in this case.
Is there a chance, and I hate even saying this, is there a chance where she'd be taking on the Hulk and saying, this is way too much for me to handle, I'm out, and where she
no,
kind
because
of
she's going to one-shot him.
Clearly.
In what battle do you one-shot someone and then go, I got to think about it, maybe I don't have a chance. No, he's dust at that point. It's fine. She'll be fine.
Gotcha. Have you ever read a Hulk comic or seen him in a movie or watched him in animation? Have you ever witnessed what the Hulk can do and what he does to things and people?
What is yes, Alex?
Thank you. Good. Just checking. All right. Excellent points on your part, Ray. We're getting some great points from our live chat, by the way. Again, your favorite, Stefan Thomas, Creative Extreme CEO, says that you may have did Ray cause the earthquake in Superman the movie in the 70s that almost destroyed California? If so, how dare you, Ray? I think
I can answer that. I believe it was my birth that caused that.
Got it. Okay. May have caused some other things. All right. And
it caused greatness.
It did. And you know what? I'm happy you're here, right? This is good. Joel Leal is wondering, is Hulk's power on par with his healing power with Wolverine? I would say yes.
Oh, of course you would.
Ryan Campbell has a great one. Yeah, but how does the typical Hulk do against magic? Sailor Moon is all magic, and magic trumps, you know, a lot of stuff. That's actually a great point.
And thank you for saying that out loud, because I was kind of dancing around it a little bit. And I was hoping, James, you could have an answer for that. Because I know Superman, one of his big weaknesses is magic. And often these large, powerful, indestructible brawlers all have the same magical weakness. How does Hulk do against magic?
I wonder, you know, and here's a great point, by the way. It's not that Superman, this always kind of gets me, it's not that Superman is weak against magic. He's susceptible to magic, which means like he's still Superman. So if something he gets hit with something that kills an average person, it's that amount of force generated by magic. It's not really going to do much to Superman. Just making a point. The Hulk has dealt with a lot of magic, by the way. Supernatural magic, cosmic level magic. You know, remember, he was in the Defenders, this four-group team with the Silver Surfer, I think Valkyrie, and Doctor Strange for quite some time. He's very familiar with magic. Not saying he knows how to use it, but he can tank a lot of it. And by the way, one of the cool powers that the Hulk has is that he can see astral forms and ghosts and supernatural beings who kind of take that ghost-like appearance. So you never know. Maybe he can see magic coming his way. But he's seen it. He's felt it. He's familiar with it. It's nothing new for the Hulk.
You hear those words he just tried to gloss over? You never know. Maybe. I heard it. I heard it very crystal.
All right, very crystal. Here we go. Let me go with my point number two. And remember, I just pointed out that the baseline Hulk I'm using tanked reality being thrown at him. So everyone knows I was going to go here. So I'm just going to go for it. Let's talk World War Hulk. So about, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, Marvel's version of the Illuminati, consisting of Charles Xavier, Reed Richards, I think Tony Stark and Black Bolt, decided that the safest thing to do was get the Hulk off planet. And they tricked him into going into some spaceship and then sent him on a course to what they thought was a peaceful world where he could live out the rest of his days without being a threat to anyone. Well, just like when I get tricked into eating non-fat ice cream, the Hulk didn't like that. And just like when I get tricked into eating non-fat ice cream, the Hulk went into a rage, damaged the rocket beyond repair in such a way that it crash landed on a planet called Sakaar. Now, once on Sakaar, the Hulk became intelligent, freed its people from a tyrannic rule, and also became the leader of that whole world. And just when he thought he had it all, it turns out he wanted just one more small little thing. He wanted payback, specifically payback on the world that, and those people that specifically sent him away. So wearing this cool gladiator armor, the Hulk comes back with some of his new colleagues from Sakaar and unleashes absolute hell on Earth. Now, this was a cunning, intelligent, and very angry version of the Hulk that had never been seen before. And as powerful as he was before, like I mentioned, he was way more powerful now due to that anger, and he was way more dangerous than ever. The best way to describe World War Hulk is the Hulk being crazy angry all the time, but combine him with Conan the Barbarian, with Bruce Banner's kind of intellect, and you'll understand what World War Hulk was really all about. So what did this version of the Hulk do? Well, on top of making Madison Square Garden his personal gladiatorial arena and I think throne room, he decided to take out almost everyone, and I mean everyone, who got in his way. So again, World War Hulk was basically a much, much stronger version of the regular one, with Bruce Banner's intellect helping him out. So he destroyed Black Bolt. That's a character that can destroy a mountain with a whisper. Well, World War Hulk attacks him on the moon, and he goes after Black Bolt, and Black Bolt unleashes this whisper that can destroy a mountain, by the way. That's how powerful his voice is. So the Hulk gets hit with that, tanks it, grabs him, and says, "I didn't come all this way to hear a whisper. I came all this way to hear you scream." So Black Bolt then screams like crazy, destroys a ton of the base of the moon that he's on, and then the Hulk takes him out very easily, tanks it, and leaves him like a mess on the ground. Tony Stark also tried his luck with World War Hulk by using, I guess it was an extremely upgraded and what he felt was an indestructible version of the Hulkbuster armor. Yeah, Hulk, World War Hulk also walked through that easily. Doctor Strange said that this version of the Hulk was the strongest he had ever seen. Remember, Doctor Strange knew him really well. And even Amadeus Cho, he was a super genius in the Marvel Universe, stated that after analyzing World War Hulk after that whole event, he concluded that the Hulk was severely holding back, as he wanted to hurt people, but he didn't want to kill anyone, you know, whether it was innocent bystanders or even his targets. He just, you know, easily could have if he wanted to. World War Hulk, after everything, then took out the Thing and the She-Hulk with one punch at the same time. Like, literally, one punch took out both of them. Took out several teams of the X-Men, including Colossus, Wolverine, and Cyclops, who were less than powerless to even slow down the Hulk. He took out the New Avengers and then defeated the Juggernaut really easily. The Hulk was beating everybody and anybody and beating them easily until a character named Sentry came along. So Sentry is considered to be, you know, one of the most powerful beings in Marvel. And he's kind of like a Superman type, but he's got some other powers as well. So he took on Hulk in a great battle. And keep in mind, the Sentry is listed as having the power of 1 million exploding suns, right? He is that powerful. So during the battle between the two, Sentry had no choice but to release his absolute every ounce of power he had at World War Hulk, which, despite his best efforts to contain that blast, still managed to destroy a good-sized chunk of Manhattan. So in the end, World War Hulk, you know, the most powerful version of the time of the Hulk we've ever seen by the Marvel Universe, all that happened was he just reverted back to Bruce Banner, and Sentry got so exhausted, he reverted back to his alter ego, laid unconscious, and the fight was actually called a draw until something else happened, which I'll reveal in point number three.
Well, okay, so first off, can I say right now, James, this is a visual medium, and I see that you've actually turned into the Hulk on your own screen.
He hulked out during his argument.
That's wild. Like, you, all this talk of transformations, and James Gavsey has disappeared and replaced himself with a Hulk.
That's right.
And I'm still gonna win. Because here's the deal. First off, World War Hulk, is that even the version that we're talking about here? You talk about, oh, I'm talking about the Incredible Hulk, you know, 616. Okay, here's this ultra souped up one story version of the Hulk that suddenly is the one I'm talking about. It's not shocking that James would go into dirty tactics and try to cheat his way into victory, but that's exactly who he is. He doesn't play clean and fair like I do. So let's talk a little bit about some of the people that have beaten the Hulk, because I've got a short list right here of characters. Now, you talk about how, you know, oh, he beat, Sentry, and it was a draw, and 10 million stars. He got beat by Hawkeye. The Incredible Hulk was murdered by Hawkeye's arrow, and that was a story where, yes, he was Bruce Banner at the time, and he said, if I'm going to turn into the Hulk again, a thing I never want to do, I am going to ask you to please kill me. And they thought that he was going to turn into the Hulk again. So what happened? Hawkeye put an arrow in his head and murdered him. We learned in the MCU movies that when Bruce Banner takes a bullet to the head, when he, you know, tried to do a thing, he woke up as the Hulk. Not here. So if you can get beat by a guy with an really powerful arrow, I've got to believe a cosmic magic blast should be enough to put you down for the count. Not just that, he lost to such characters as Dr. Octopus, Dr. Octopus is not exactly a world level threat. He lost to an idiot named The Wrecker, which is just a guy with like a Thor-powered crowbar. He got wrecked by this dude.
It sounds like an ancillary character on WWE or something.
At best, this is a 1990s. It's basically he tag teamed with the Repo Man, and they ended up defeating the Barbarian in a 2v1 match on Sunday Night Heat
I saw that.
There's a great match. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, yeah, he's also lost to such characters as Batman, of course. When Batman kicked him in the stomach and caused him to breathe bat gas, which then knocked him unconscious. So you talk about some of these examples of his heights. We have to talk about some examples of his lows. And he has plenty of lows. That's my rebuttal. I believe we're ready for the turning point.
All right. Don't worry about my picture race to Canis. I've actually got something planned right now that I'm working on. Here's the deal, Marshall.
Oh!
Yeah, you know me. Marshall, we've got to the turning point. This is where you tell us, who do you think is winning this battle, and what does the other side have to do to come out ahead?
Oof. Well, I'm not going to lie. It's looking rough. I think as of right now, just based on sheer feats, weaponry, defensive capabilities, things of that nature. I'm gonna have to say, I think right now the Hulk is winning.
Stop it. Nonsense.
First of all, Batman beating the Hulk doesn't feel like the 616 version of the Hulk that I thought we were talking about. It feels like a DC Marvel crossover version, which cannot be canon because it's a DC Marvel crossover.
Oh, wow. Where was this rule when I needed it 50 times before?
So glad I'm not referencing any of that kind of stuff ever in a battle.
besides that, like, I haven't heard enough from Sailor Moon's who she has had to battle on par with the Hulk's battle opponents, nor with the level of actual like feats of strength and durability that the Hulk against those opponents. Like, it's tough. Like, I want to be able to vote for Sailor Moon if she's deserving, but I gotta hear some more. You gotta pull out all the stops, Ray.
That's fine. Please. All right, whatever. I'm winning. I'm way ahead right now, Marshall. So I don't know what... Have you just been tuning out when I say words?
No. Look, Princess Sword, the magic tiara. Like, you're talking about super speed, but like you said, that is the editors more than anything. So I don't really know. I know the Hulk's fast.
This is interesting because this is actually where I get a little scared, because when Ray gets pushed against the wall, he comes out swinging hard. So, all right, Ray, I'm interested. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three. Now, we're going to talk a little bit. Now, a lot of this I've kind of like alluded to before, but let's go into more depth about it. Because right here, the abilities of power versus magic. And we talked about this a little bit in our earlier points, but oftentimes these very powerful characters get dropped by the magic user. And I haven't heard any great examples of Hulk facing a Doctor Strange or a character of that ilk who can blast him with some sort of super magical blast and how would he do against that? I've also not heard how he responds to disintegration. Disintegration, Marshall. So, okay, the Silver Crystal is a really, really big thing that she does. It's a big, powerful thing. It has the ability and the power to create universes. It can snuff out life. It can create life. This thing is the power cosmic. And when faced with power cosmic level characters, the Hulk gets wrecked. The Hulk in comic books, when he faces somebody like the Silver Surfer or one of these other enhanced characters who has the power cosmic, the Hulk does horribly. When the Hulk fought, another example, when the Hulk fought Namor, King of the Ocean or whatever the heck his title is, he's Aquaman level strength, which is good. It's not like world class, but it's very, very good. And he fought Namor in the water because the Hulk gets ahead of himself. The Hulk makes bad tactical decisions because he isn't that tactically sound. He jumped in the water to fight Namor. It went on, I don't know, two panels? And Namor dragged his body out of the water two panels later and said, I got your boy right here. The Hulk can be lured into making horrible, horrible decisions. So if he's going to fight up against Sailor Moon, he's going to come very one-dimensionally, and Sailor Moon's going to be able to use her barrier, her healing, as well as the Silver Crystal to rewrite reality. I believe that affected you in a battle once before, Marshall. She can rewrite reality in order to win. And when things are looking at its worst, when she gets beat down, let's say the Hulk gets some shots off and knocks her against a wall and throws her up in the air and she lands and she's crying. She's a very emotional character. She's getting into, but then all of a sudden she remembers all of her friends and all of the things that they gave, whether they passed away on the battlefield or just took real bad beatings and couldn't be there to see this battle today. And she will channel those people and she will be able to pull all the powers and all of the abilities and all of the strength of all of her friends deep inside of herself in order to do that one shot that will knock down the Hulk for good, or at least the 2 minutes that we need for this battle. So you never really count her out. Again, the Hulk's going to have to do a heck of a lot to put her down. Even if he does, the Silver Crystal's going to bail her out. And all she's got to do is land one good shot on the Hulk. And the last thing I'll talk to you about here is one of the Hulk's weaknesses that I saw. And this is really prevalent in the MCU movies. I have to assume they didn't get it from nowhere. And that's he can be talked down by a sensitive and a caring soul. We saw Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow be able to talk him back into Bruce Banner again. And I would argue if there's one character from not the Marvel Universe who is sensitive, who is adorable, and who the Hulk would not want to smash, and who could actually turn him back into Bruce Banner through either talking him down or through sheer force of power alone to distort the reality and turn him back into Bruce Banner and calm his soul with some of that healing. You know, we talk about the healing on herself. Remember when I said before that she was able to heal the brainwashing out of another dude? She could heal the gamma radiation Hulk ability out of the Hulk, turning him back into Bruce Banner. At which point, they have a big hug and he walks away happier because he's no longer the Hulk. Or, if she has to, she blasts him with the disintegration tiara and he turns to dust and he goes far, far, far away. All of this and more is exactly why Sailor Moon has to win this battle, because whatever the Hulk can throw at her will not be enough. You know, you say before, Marshall, and I can't really get to that point because she's, you know, fought people like Queen Beryl. And if you haven't watched Sailor Moon, you don't know that Queen Beryl's super powerful. So it's hard when you're kind of dealing with an anime character with some of the monsters and villains. Let's just say she fights an anime monster of the week and she takes it out in one shot after a very intense battle and a lot of soul searching. And that's exactly what she's going to do in this battle today. So I could name off a list of people she's defeated. I just don't think to the average person on the street, it's going to mean a whole heck of a lot. I'll just say they're anime characters, so you know they're powerful. And that's my point number three.
Okay. So here's the thing, Ray. You're bringing up some interesting points. And I got to agree with you.
Oh, I know.
Sailor Moon is definitely not your typical 14-year-old, right? There's definitely a lot more. And wasn't it revealed that she was actually like this amazing warrior that she didn't know about in either like a previous history of hers or what have
you? She's she finds out in later seasons that she's the reincarnation of, I think, Princess Serenity or something like that. So she's actually, and to what the point was, when the Silver Crystal reboots the universe because something really terrible has happened, that's what ended up happening in this particular case. And it put that soul, that warrior spirit inside this 14-year-old girl and effectively started over.
Okay, and that just goes to show the greatness of Sailor Moon.
Yes.
So let me talk
great
about
character.
It is a great character, no doubt. But let me talk about, you know, what you were saying about how the Hulk is sometimes calmed down. In the comic books, the Hulk was calmed down, by the way, during a period of time where the Hulk was actually working in collaboration with S.H.I.E.L.D. So they would send the Hulk in. He'd almost sometimes be wearing like a S.H.I.E.L.D. uniform of sorts, a Hulk version, of course. He'd take care of what he had to take care of, and he'd be rampaging around, and they would shoot down, in a very humane way, by the way, a big, huge container of puppies. And the container would gently hit the ground, the door would open, a ton of puppies would come out, and the Hulk raging around would be like, puppies and start playing with the puppies. And of course, who wouldn't do that? We've all been guilty. Puppies. Whenever a crate of puppies drops from the sky, I'm clearly playing with the puppies. Now,
regrettably, that happens a lot to me.
You get a lot of puppies in your backyard?
All the time.
Fair enough. So here's the thing, though. That was a great thing. Does Sailor Moon have a container of puppies on her at all times?
She does not, but she does have the power of caring. She does have the power of heart, and she has sort of this naivete about her that would allow her to commune with the Hulk on that level without a doubt.
Got it. Last time the Hulk had to face someone who was very powerful, who he was battling, who also had that naivete and that, you know, was like kind of like what you're describing, a Care Bear meeting that cool kid who had the power of heart on Captain Planet.
Mati.
He right. fought the kid from Captain Planet with the heart?
Mati.
No, I'm just saying that's how you described Sailor Moon. Last time that happened, it didn't turn out too well for the Hulk's opponent. It takes a lot to calm him down, or a box of puppies falling from the sky safely and humanely, of course. So in terms of disintegration, you're talking about, you know, the Hulk, who has survived nuclear blasts. Remember, the last super powerful, like crazy powerful person, Vector, who I mentioned before, who had like insane blasts of energy that could have hurt Thor and people of that class. When he got disintegrated up to like 90%, he just grew back, regenerated within 3 comic book panels or 3 seconds. He's like, just give me a second.
Hold on. There's a difference between a physical nuclear blast from a guy who got blasted with gamma radiation. It's essentially a powerful explosion and radiation, which are things that are not going to put the Hulk down. I'm talking about a magical attack, and that is not based in science, and that's why I think it has a good chance to put through on the Hulk.
I feel many of the things that you present are not based in science, but that's okay too. You know, we'll say
science is what I say it is, James.
By the way, congratulations. You were talking about Namor. The Namor, the Submariner. And you were talking, and you called him Namor, which is, I believe, the French version of Namor. So good on you.
You've rubbed off on me.
I je ne sais quoi. You know,
Ray grew up in Michigan, so he got the Canadian version of Marvel Comics. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the French Canadian version's, it's good. So point number 3 for the Hulk, let me just kind of go to that real quick, and I'm going to double down in the direction I'm going, and then I'm going to bring up something a little different. This is where I have to tap into my strategy. Okay. So I call this point number 3, no upper limit. So we all know that the angrier the Hulk gets, the stronger he gets. We also know that he doesn't actually have an upper limit to his strength and power. By the way, that was a being called the Beyonder, who is the actual living embodiment of a parallel universe in humanoid form, but that's still that powerful, who measured the Hulk and just checked him out and whatever and said, there's no upper limit to this person's power. I have no idea how strong this creature could actually be. That was a living embodiment of a universe saying that about the Hulk. So what do you get? Let me ask you this. When you take World War Hulk and make him even angrier than before, well, that's when we get to take a look at my favorite version of the Hulk, known as World Breaker Hulk. And remember, as I mentioned before,
how many Hulks
Hulk,
are you planning to use today, James?
What's
are we doing the Incredible Hulk, or are we doing 17 different versions and an amalgam that only deals with their strengths? What is happening right now?
Yes. Sorry, I hope that answers that. Remember, as I mentioned before, World War Hulk was determined to be holding back when he came to Earth because he didn't want to hurt innocent people. He wanted to prove a point. He didn't want to necessarily kill these heroes that sent him off planet, but he definitely wanted to hurt them, rough them up, and kind of send a message. So Worldbreaker Hulk is pretty much World War Hulk, who cut loose and let himself go completely wild. Now here's something I need to really bring up. There are a whole bunch of what Ray said. There's a whole bunch of different versions of the Hulk. There's like, I think, the Ghost Rider Cosmic Hulk. There's this new Omni Blue Hulk that was around for a little while, and there was another Hulk from another universe that was even more powerful than Galactus. I'm not talking about those versions of the Hulk. Why?
Why because, not?
Because each of those characters, Ray, had an outside something happen to them, a power a boost or something that got Hulk to those levels. Every version of the Hulk I'm talking about, this is Hulk au naturel. This is a version of the Hulk that he can reach on his own without an outside boost or outside interference. So, the Hulk, the World War Hulk was so powerful, but World Breaker Hulk is way more powerful. Why? Because he's always angry and angrier in a very savage way. he's so powerful that when Worldbreaker Hulk walked, he almost destroyed the whole Eastern Seaboard with a single step. Later on in another issue of the Hulk, Worldbreaker Hulk lived up to his name, where he literally was in what's called the Dark Dimension, a parallel universe of sorts, and he punched a version of the She-Hulk called the Red She-Hulk, grabbed her, for whatever reason was fighting her, she was evil, or something was happening, and punched her through a planet, and the planet got destroyed because he punched her through it. This is a completely different... Remember, the Hulk is someone who can hold the tectonic plates in place of a planet, which he did as Worldbreaker Hulk, punching the Red She-Hulk through another planet, which therefore destroyed the planet. That's a whole different level. Imagine if you took the most powerful version of Superman. I'm going to use a term you love, Ray Stachanis. Imagine you took the most powerful version of Superman and turned him into a bloodlusted Superman who just wanted to destroy and kill everything he could as fast and as recklessly as possible. That, in essence, is Worldbreaker Hulk. Remember, the weaker version, War Hulk, I should say, took out the Avengers, the X-Men, Iron Man, the Fantastic Four, Juggernaut, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, and even the Marvel Universe version of the United States Army, which has advanced tech and is actually really powerful. And of course, you don't know the full range of his and extent of his power. It's not been tested, but nothing in the Marvel Universe had ever been seen like World War Hulk. World Breaker Hulk came in and blew all those levels away. But now here's the second part of my strategy. The biggest strength for the Hulk may just be Sailor Moon's biggest weakness. Let me explain. So again, I researched that Sailor Moon is the most powerful when she's with her team, right? When she's with her team, the other sailors, don't know what the right term, what's the term
Navy.
For Sailor Moon's team?
With the Navy,
the Sailor Scouts, I believe.
The Sailor Scouts. So
called.
When she's with the Sailor Scouts, you know, as a team, as a collective, they're pretty formidable. They are super powerful. I get it. But on her own, Sailor Moon's not as powerful. And that's actually when she shows her weakness. We already talked about one where on her own, in the very first, I think it was the first episode, what have you, and other episodes, Ray, you alluded to this, Sailor Moon actually got it. And again, she's 14, gets freaked out when taking on some of her opponents and takes off. You know, she's also, I looked at some of her weaknesses. She's impetuous. She'll run into a fight sometimes without really assessing what's going on. And sometimes will get in over her head. Imagine she's taking on, Worldbreaker Hulk. And she uses her tiara and she uses, you know, all her sword and everything else. And none of that's really slowing him down. All of a sudden, she's going to be, you know, looking for that magical box of puppies, you know, coming down from the sky that shows up on Ray Stachanis' lawn every day, evidently. Shocking. Here's the thing. I know it's shocking. The Hulk, see, Sailor Moon, in my opinion, she's best when she's part of her team, the Sailor Scouts, right? That's when actually I think she's even got powers based off if she's with her team as well, if I'm not mistaken. The Hulk, he's been part of teams, but he was kind of like their hammer. He was like a tool for the team. He wasn't really a member of the team in full, you know, as far as I can tell. The Hulk is better off in a one-on-one battle, right? Where he's on his own. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. And he can just rage and be sad or do whatever he's going to do. Well, guess what? We're in a who would win battle. Sailor Moon doesn't have her team. She's got her weaknesses and she's facing off against the Hulk, who even in baseline form is super powerful. But as Worldbreaker Hulk, is something that Superman would have a real issue with. In the end, with the Hulk's unmatched strength, his power, his no upper limit to strength, speed, endurance, and ferocity and destructive capability, it's not hard to see why Hulk beats Sailor Moon. And that's my point number three.
Okay, I'm going to cut this intoxicating mind fog right here, right now, because this is some not... See, here's what James tries to do. He says, hey, okay, Marshall, here's the most powerful version of Hulk they ever devised for one storyline, and this is going to be my baseline. Also, I only want you to consider Sailor Moon from the first 5 minutes of her first episode. This is the fight he's trying to make you think exists, and that is not what is happening. She showed some of this fear, impetuous, the tears. This was early on. She gets stronger as the show goes on, for poop's sake. And the Hulk, this is not a normal version of the Hulk. This is a one-shot version of the Hulk that they put out there in order to tell this one story. And he wants you to think like every Hulk story, if every Hulk story had the Hulk take a step and then and the Eastern Seaboard collapses, there wouldn't be a whole heck of a lot of Hulk stories, okay? This is nonsense. This is wildly over the scope of what a who would win battle should even be about. If we're doing this, we might as well have James say, yeah, I'm going to take World War Hulk, and I'm going to take World Breaker Hulk. I'm going to take Hulk from fan fiction that I just wrote 10 minutes ago where he eats the planet because he's so big.
That was a good one, too. That was my favorite fanfic,
by the way. That was good.
Pure, absolute nonsense. A couple other things I want to say. One of the easiest targets to hit is somebody who's coming very, very fast directly at you. And the Hulk, again, not known for strategy. You say he fights in a team because the team has to point him in a direction and where to go and get him in the right fights, okay? The Hulk doesn't know what's going on otherwise. And Sailor Moon can absolutely take advantage of that with her speed. And she can bamboozle him and be able to hit him. And if the Hulk's going to try to move, he's going to move straight at her in a beeline and try to punch her, and that makes for an easy, gigantic target right in front of her with that disintegration tiara. Again, yes, Hulk can take physical damage like nobody's business, but magical damage is something entirely else. And the other and last thing I'll leave you with here is, yes, if the Hulk gets really, really angry and really, really mad, the upper limit, there is no upper limit. He can just keep getting madder and stronger and madder and stronger. But as I established very intelligently, and might even say attractively, in my point number 3, Sailor Moon isn't going to make him angry through these attacks. She's going to be showering with unicorns and rainbows and feathers and all of this other manner of things that she does in her little action attack montages. She's not going to be insulting the Hulk. She's not going to be intimidating the Hulk physically in any way. So I just don't see how he gets angry enough to do what he needs to do to take out a cosmic level threat that is Sailor Moon. Again, this is a guy who lost to Wolverine, Storm, Deadpool, he lost to, again, the Wrecker with a cosmic crowbar. If he loses to a guy with a crowbar, he loses to the Silver Crystal, which can reshape universes, Marshall. Cut the fog. I'm ready for a decision.
By the way, great use of the word bamboozled. I feel that's not a word we say enough of on the show.
It's one of my favorite words.
Like you, as you often get bamboozled by the intoxicating mind fog. We'll bring that up later on.
I don't. I'm not the one who get. I see right through it because to me it is laughing gas, and I laugh at your points when you try to make them in such an effervescent way.
Marshall, you see what's going on with Ray. He may have been breathing in the intoxicating mind fog a little too much. I don't know what he's talking about. I just try to lay out a strategy and just let the chips fall where they may. Marshall, nonsense. I know you're at that magical point of the match. You've got to tell us who wins this battle. Give us your process step by step. And at the end, reveal, was it Sailor Moon or the Hulk that wins this fight?
Okay. Okay. So basically, like, knowing how powerful the Hulk was, and like, you know, James said the he was an old natural version. So like all of those versions I understood as like, that's a version of the Hulk that could be possible. That's a capability that he has. Now you say the Sailor Moon, those weapons that she has, I have a hard time because it doesn't seem like canon or something that was created specifically as a character power to be super fast. I think that's extrapolating a little bit by saying that all of the movements happen so fast and she's still able to fight. I just think that, you know, in anime, they're very polite about, you know, who fights and hits first. I think that explains that. But the Hulk is every version of the Hulk that James talked about, very powerful. The Sailor Moon's got some powerful weapons. I don't know about that tiara. That's a tough one, but I feel as if like there's like, did the Hulk get snapped out by Thanos and disintegrate? Like was he susceptible to anything like that, or has Sailor Moon ever used a tiara and it didn't work? And if it did work every time, were those people as powerful as the Hulk? That's my question. But I think, Ray, unfortunately, part of your argument actually did you in. And that was the crystal, if she is getting beat badly enough, will kill her and reset everything, which I feel like then ends the game because then she's dead. That's why I asked if she felt it.
But he's dead too. He dies first, and then she dies along the way.
How? Wait, what? How is that possible?
It stops everything that's happening. What are we talking about right now?
I'm talking about what your point was, which is that the crystal kills her. Which means that if she is getting pushed to the edge and she cannot beat the opponent, she gets killed. She's dead. That's it. It's over. So I'm going to have to go with the Hulk.
This is nonsense.
Marshall.
Look, I'm looking at the chat room right here, and they are enraged.
Are they? Are they enraged? Because I can't see the chat right now.
Here we go. All James does is extrapolate in almost every episode. Ray barely ever does, and he's the one who gets called out for it. What is happening
I knew there would be some people that would be upset. I understood that.
Here's the thing.
He lost to a crowbar! He took an arrow to the face and died.
Bruce Banner took an arrow to the face.
It was a special arrow.
Oh, it was a special arrow. It was still an arrow.
It was, you
it
know
was
what?
A special crowbar, but it was still
Hawkeye,
a crowbar.
Hawkeye, just like Sailor Moon, he launched the special arrow with love and caring, just like Sailor Moon does, except I think he used a bit more love and caring and arrow to the face. Was the strategy overall. It was a special arrow, though, to take out the Hulk. One of my favorites, Kevin Robbins just said, any attack Sailor Moon throws at him will make the Hulk more angry. If all she does is stand there, he won't get more angry, but that's not what's happening here. Very interesting point, Ray Stikanis. You know, listen, there's a small, small chance. I'm going to give this to you. There's a small chance that Sailor Moon could possibly sway the Hulk and kind of soothe the Savage Beast and get him to calm down. Possibly. But it's a small chance. There's a great chance that the Hulk is going to go rage and be savage and absolutely go on the attack against Sailor Moon. Marshall Givens, I think you did the right thing here.
Sorry. Sorry, Ray.
You should be apologizing. You should be apologizing to the people at home who are in. I was looking at hashtag Ray was robbed. Hashtag Ray was robbed. Look, I'm just reading the same one over and over again, but it's definitely in the chat. Hashtag Ray was robbed. People are going to take to the streets over this, and they're going to take over entire towns, and they're going to spray paint hashtag Ray is robbed on the side of their local libraries, and they're going to hole up inside and read a bunch of books and educate themselves,
guys,
so they can try to get inside your head and understand how you possibly got
just
to this point.
Just protest in the streets and change this judicial system, guys, and then you won't have a problem.
That would be okay.
I also think, Marshall, that you should be like the new judge of everything society.
I take all the facts into consideration, and I think realistically, what would a fictional teenage girl do against a raging Hulk?
Thank you very much. And Ray, if it makes you feel any better, there's a box of puppies in your backyard waiting for you.
Again?
Yeah, Marshall sent them over.
I had to.
Amazon's real.
How
quick.
Many I got to deal
to.
With
that,
here?
That came in Hunger Games style. You had to get it.
All right, Ray, congratulations. Okay, look, let me pull back the curtain here. I didn't know how this matchup was going to go. Sailor Moon, there's a lot of great power she has. She's got a lot of great wins, a lot of great abilities, and someday she'll have someone represent her really well in a who would win matchup, and I'll be ready for her. But today,
oh, what a hoot.
But today,
what a delight you are right now. Thanks, James. I appreciate that. I did great. I should have won. Marshall, I don't know what's going on with you right now. Why do you always seem to find weird reasons and bizarre extrapolations? And you get on me for telling the truth. And then you let James get away with 72 different versions of the character, which was supposed to be clearly stated in the official rules of a Who Would Win show. Am I the only one who cares about the rules anymore?
I feel like Ray's been, what's the word I'm looking for? Bamboozled.
Oh, no.
Possibly. Yeah, you never know. Good word, Ray. But in the end, Ray, Marshall, you said it. She definitely feels death.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a thing.
Because, okay, so like there's when people say, oh, they got killed off or the crystal kills her. Like, I didn't know if he meant like the crystal just made her not exist, which is a lot different than the crystal's like, no, die first and then I'll change everything. Those are two different things.
Ray, you know what? It was a good matchup. You had me on the ropes. I got actually kind of surprised by some of your points, and I was just lucky enough to have the greatest judge of all time, Marshall Givens, on here. So
I didn't just have you on the ropes. I knocked you out of the ring 5 or 6 times.
But did you disintegrate him?
That's true.
At least thrice.
Thrice. All right, Marshall, this was amazing. You are amazing. Congratulations on everything you're doing, the new production company. We look forward to supporting that and having the Who Would Win audience jump over to all of your podcasts. Woo. And support that 100% too. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
You can check me out at Mr. Happy Givens on Twitter and IG. As well as at HP53 Productions. That's what we're doing now.
Love it. And Ray, how are you doing? You okay?
Not well.
He's turning green. I see it.
Well, there's the Red Hulk. There's the Green Hulk. Both. Okay. Ray, please tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me enraged at almightyray.com. You can listen to another show called Knowing Is Half the Podcast. We actually did an episode of the Fantastic Four 1960s cartoon with the Silver Surfer and Galactus in it not that long ago. You might very much enjoy that. Most recently, we did an episode of Fonz and the Happy Days Gang, which, and check this out, Fonz and some of the characters, Richie Cunningham and Ralph Mouth, find a time machine and a lady from the 25th century and a talking dog named Mr. Cool. And you remember this from the Happy Days show. And they go back and time travel through universes. The episode we did, they went and met King Arthur and Merlin in medieval times.
As you do, yeah.
Did they both look also like Fonzie?
Well, Mr. Cool tried to, but he actually was not very cool. It was an ironic name, oh, wow, as we learned in the episode. And one thing we're doing on Knowing Us After the Podcast, we wanted to celebrate diversity, so we chose three episodes of the cartoon with black protagonists, and we are going to take them out of our Patreon vault, and we're going to go ahead and put them on the main feed, and we're going to be doing that on Friday as you listen to this. And if you're listening on the podcast, they should already be up. So if you'd like to hear some episodes that were previously unavailable, we really wanted to get behind it, so that's where we're at. We're doing that.
Very cool. All right, you can find me posing my patented question of the day on Twitter and Instagram at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show and check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes. Remember to also subscribe to the Who Would Win Show on YouTube, Spotify, and on Apple Podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening and watching another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.